نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullah alayh commence his kitab with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. There's a whole discussion now. Kullu amrin thibalin lam yubda bi bismillah wa huwa aqta. Everything must be started, must be commenced with the praise of Allah Ta'ala. Then in place of saying Alhamdulillah, Nahmaduhu wa Nasta'inuhu, then why did he commence with Bismillah? So there's several answers now. We don't want to give that discussion. But one of the answers is this, that one is a speech and the other is writing. In the writings of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he had written to the missionaries and leaders, then in all the letters you will find he commenced with Bismillah. Sulaiman alayhi salam, when he had written to Bilqis, innahu min Sulaimana wa innahu bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he had written to Heracle, Hercules, and Kisra, then it was also commenced with Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. And the other occasion was a speech. So when it was a speech, then he commenced the speech with Alhamdulillah Nahmaduhu. So in emulating the Mubarak way, so I said Nahmaduhu wa Nusalli ala, instead of saying Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. A Muslim must have that in his heart, that as much as he can, he must emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Three things they say that will save you. In everything, as much as you can, you emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In some areas, perhaps you may not be able to emulate Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Therefore, months sometimes with just khajur and water. Now, I ask any of us to do it for one day, I'm sure the temper will go sky high. Kidhar ka gussa kahin utar jayega. So just you stay within your limit. That was Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for Sahaba Kiram. They are a very high standard. Yes, we have the desire that one day we'll emulate, we'll try, or at least we desire that, we wish for that, and we would like that. We like that, that's the ideal, that's the standard. But it's our weakness that we cannot emulate him at that level. So, na'uzu billah, we don't have an aversion. We have a like and a muhabbat and a desire. That is the right way, that is the better way. Kaash ke, maybe uski quwwat hoti. So, the three things they show: adhere to the sunnah as far as you can. Number two, the sunnah that you can't, then have a liking for it. And number three, a security measure is Durood Sharif. How much you can. If you can't do it verbally, then mentally. But do it. Muhyiddin ibn Arabi rahmatullahi says that we heard our Shaykh Allama Tartushi saying that من كان يرجو لقاء ربه فليعمل عملا صالحا ولا يشرك بعبادة ربه أحدا. You long to meet Allah Ta'ala. That must be the greatest yearning and the greatest longing in your heart. Because you love a person because of two, three reasons. Sometimes because of niwal, his favors and his bounties, you like the person. like your parents, because of their favors, their bounties, the ihsan, the kindness that they had shown, you love them, right? And sometimes you love them because of jamal, the beauty, right? And then it's an unforgettable beauty. So you have a liking for the person because of the beauty of it. And I normally give an example of the school days. And some eyes fell on some Jamila Appa, right? And then it becomes an unforgettable memory, right? You can't discuss it with your wife, obviously. For obvious reason, you can't discuss it. But you know, it's stuck in your memory somewhere. So, what was the thing that struck you? It was the beauty. So, a man gets attracted sometimes because of favors and gifts, kindness, right? And sometimes because of beauty, right? Now, how you need to understand this is, na kale ko dekho, na gore ko dekho. Dekho isko, jisne isko jamal naseeb farmaya. Don't look at the complexion and the figure. Don't look at that. Look at the being who's given him the beauty. There's approximately 8 billion people living on this earth, right? And every person's outlook, his appearance, his outlook, everything is different. He's different. Brothers are different from brothers, sisters from sisters, father from son. And everybody has got a different complexion, different appearance, different look, different temperament. Everything is different. So what? How vast are the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So now, the treasure of beauty also is unlimited. If the treasure of pleasure, then in the pleasure is beauty. So that's an unlimited treasure as well. And then the right time or the good time to reflect over it is when you sing Subhana Rabbiyal Azim, Subhana Rabbiyal A'la. Subhana is saying that Allah Ta'ala is pure. Pure from what? From all types of limitations. Weaknesses, limitations, then He is absolutely pure. He's got no limits. He's got no deficiency. So when you say He's pure, then He is above the purity that you think about, beyond the purity that you can imagine. So that is the highest level of beauty. Because in every other beauty, there will be a limit, there will be some deficiency, right? If you see the person now, 16, 17, sweet 16, I am 16, going on to 17, right? So that happens at that time, right? But now, that same person, at 70 then, they say, it's outdated, I finished, days are numbered, right? So, as beautiful as the person is, but that beauty has got a limit. It can only strike to a certain time, after that beauty is gone. That beauty doesn't come again. It fades away, no matter what complexion and whatever you use, a beautician and whatever, but that beauty can't be brought back. It's gone khalas. So you rather than invest your mind and your imagination in a beauty that is unlimited. It goes on and on and on. Allah Ta'ala naseeb farmaye. وجوه يومئذ ناظرة إلى ربها ناظرة. That day, Allah will give us the blessings to look at His countenance. And that is the crown of all the favors. It's such an exciting moment, great moment, magnanimous moment, right? That if it wasn't decreed for you to die, your heart would have burst. Every look is a different experience, it's a different beauty, it's a different splendor. Kulla yawmin huwa fi shan. Every moment is a different splendor, it's a new splendor. So, that is the countenance. And therefore, the worst punishment will be, إِنَّهُمْ أَرَّبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. Allah save us. The worst punishment is, the one is blocked from seeing Allah Ta'ala. You cannot see Allah Ta'ala. That will be the worst punishment. You can't think of a punishment worse than that. Can you imagine a punishment worse than that? You worked for the first being, you tried, you longed, you desired, and then that crucial moment, no, you barred, you can't see. So there isn't any punishment worse than being barred from seeing Allah Ta'ala. And there can't be any blessing greater than seeing the countenance of Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala grant us. And then there'll be those who will see Allah Ta'ala every day, some twice in the day, some once in the week, some once in a day, right? According to their levels, according to how they have progressed, right? Allah Ta'ala jannat mein pahuncha de hame. With ease and afiyat and respect, Allah Ta'ala, let us come to jannat. And with the passage of time, Allah Ta'ala has made it very easy. Allah Ta'ala has seen the weaknesses, our limitations. We aren't like Sahaba-i-Kiram or the awliya of the past. We are not like that. Nowhere. We can't even be the really, I'm saying literally, we can't even be the dust under the shoes, let alone the feet. We can't even be there. But just emulating them, liking them, muhabbat, attaching ourselves to them, that also is very much appreciated by Allah Ta'ala. Right type of people, awliya, subhanadeen, mashayikh, we attach ourselves, be with them, emulate them, follow them, see their teaching. So that in this day is a great thing. And then leave everything else out. So Muhyiddin ibn Arabi, in his day, is the sheikh of the time. Can't think of someone great like him. So his sheikh was Lama Turtushi, rahmatullah alayhi. His sheikh used to say that من كان يرجو لقاء ربي, you long to meet Allah Ta'ala. You want to be there, right? Now that's the height of the glory. There can't be anything above that. You want that, right? Then what are you supposed to be doing? So he gave you a true line of action. He says, one is this, that leave out socializing. Either meet this one here, go there, this one here, talk to that one, talk to this one, this da'wat, that da'wat. So leave that out. And number two is, in material things, stop vying and competing with each other. He got a Ferrari, I'm still playing around, a small little, you know, worse than a Chinese model. What he's got. Hey, what do people talk about me? I don't fit in the circle. So, just to be able to be recognized, we are making that struggle and that strive. Hey, that's not the criteria. It's not what we are aiming for. Our object is something else. See, in this world, understand, it's a distribution, divine, right? The divine distribution is not according to our understanding and reasoning. Sometimes we are misled into thinking that he's got more, so he's closer to Allah Ta'ala. It doesn't work like that. Now look, as we're living here, right? The animals that eat the most, elephants, lion, right? In the sea is whales and shark, right? They eat the most. But because they eat the most, have they got any recognition? Python, they eat so much, they eat, right? But because of their consumption, because of so much, the volume of this is so great, is that a point to consider? Now this is a criteria that they are prison, they are skeleton. So that is not a point to see. In fact, for many people it can be dangerous. How it can be dangerous? إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ بِهَا فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا لَا تُعْجِبْكَ أَمْوَالُهُمْ وَأَوْلَادُهُمْ. Don't let the wealth impress you. Don't become overawed. You see them, they're not practicing, right? And in spite of them not practicing properly, then too they have got abundance. So سَنَسْتَدْرِجُهُمْ, then that's a respite. It's a divine respite. Allah is giving you a small chance. But understand that many a times when you don't open your eyes to that respite, then Allah Ta'ala is dropping you down. But so gracefully and so gradually, that you can't even understand that this is a trap, and you're falling into it gradually, slowly, slowly, you get stuck. Then you try what you want, but you can't get out of it. You try what you want, but the way you're stuck now, the way that trap has entrapped you, then you can't come out of it. See, the person takes drugs, right? He wants to get out of it. Is it easy for him to come out? Tries, and there's a relapse. Tries again, there's a relapse. Tries again, and there's a relapse. Try, I don't say don't try, but it's how difficult it is. So, Din ibn Arabi says two things. One, don't mix around. Because, لِقَوَ النَّاسِ لَا يَخْلُوا أَنْ قِيلِ وَقَالِ. Because you want to meet people, it's just about he said this, and he said this, and he said this, and he said this. And I'll try to strike points over you, and you'll try to do the same. That my word must prevail over your word, and your word must prevail over my word. I must have the last say, I must have the last word. This is how we see it. But does that hold any merit in the sight of Allah Ta'ala? I want to see, you know, how many people are coming to my side, and how they're complimenting me, how they're recognizing me. And then as they're recognizing me, then my spirits are going up, and they don't recognize me, then my spirit goes down. So overall, then what we are doing, we're living in the minds of people. Aren't we? Hazrat Umar said it. Sometimes, why they say it? They observe very well, very well. Don't underestimate them, please. The observation is thorough. He says, you want to get married to a beautiful woman, so that others may admire your wife. And I can vouch for it because of the emails that you receive. People are saying, no, they're insisting on the wives that don't cover your face, please. It's not for us. Don't cover your face. In the presence of his friends, now he was someone now, so everybody was admire, complimenting. Is that making sense? It's a limit of indecency, indecent behavior. What are you so caught into that culture? The people must talk about me, they must praise me, they must compliment me, that even your wife is not there. So this aspect of qeel wa qaal, mixing up, talking, and we don't realize how dangerous it is. Sometimes it is just one sentence that pierces you, and then you can't take it out. It's a arrow that has struck. A sentence is like an arrow that has struck. And you can't just pull it out. And you're trying to pull it also, but the venom remains. And you think it's a simple thing, just go and meet the person. What's there? But remember, in my understanding, the information, what it does to you, is like the intake, the food, what it does to you. Like the food that you take, you need to have two simple things. One is that food must be agreeable. Right? And number two is you take it in the right amount. Agreeable to you, everybody's temperament is different, is a sugar, pressure, whatever. So according to your temperament, it must be agreeable to you. And the measure must be right as well. Then it does good to your body. Know yourself and know the food that is agreeable and know the amount that is agreeable. So it works well. You sleep nice, you eat nice, you are healthy, strong. So the same law, according to me, applies to information. Information also takes that amount that is agreeable to you. So you will only take that information from that person who you can agree with. Agreeing means, in the sight of Allah Ta'ala, you feel this person is the right person. In my dini matters, you will give me the right direction. He's very sound, very thorough. You saw him on the levels of ilm and taqwa. Two things you see him. In the levels of ilm and taqwa, one is zahir, one is batin. A Muslim has got two dimensions to his life. The outer dimension and the inner dimension. The outer dimension is right. He knows his work. He is sound in his ilm. and he's found in taqwa. Anything else you require. So you need the inner dimension, you need the outer dimension. So you found a person like that, then just hold on to him. So he's on the same wavelength, you're agreeable, right? And you can reason, he can understand you, you can reason with him, and hold on to him. Then you close your eyes to everything else, without despising or disgracing anybody. You don't despise the next person, and don't disgrace. You don't know what's your end, and you don't know what his end is. So you don't need to despise anybody, you don't need to disgrace. But you need that amount of deen that is sufficient for you. Sufficient for your zahiri self and for your batin, you need. Because you are accountable for the zahir, like you're accountable for the batin. Like the first thing that you're going to be accountable for is your namaz, right? So get your namaz right. And then you get the hadith that the first person that is thrown into Jahannam is either an alim, or a mujahid, or a wealthy person. Why? All on account of the batin being corrupt. They had ostentation and show in them. They want publicity, all that. So it came. Faqad qeel, you got it now. So you're getting reward either for the zahir or for the batin. You're getting punished either for the zahir not being in conformity or the batin not being right. So you're getting it right from someone. So in this age and time, see, between you and Allah Ta'ala, means without any bias, without any prejudice, you feel this is the right person. And how you gauge that this is the right person is by listening to him, corresponding with him. Then you see your consciousness of Allah Ta'ala is increasing, understanding of deen is improving, and your whole focus in life is the akhirat. Where are you going to? Right? You're going for a wedding, right? So your focus is there, going for a wedding to say ladies first, right? Ladysmith may be a nukta ki baat. You say Ladysmith, but on the other hand you said Harry Smith. So nukta ki baat kya hai? See, in the early days even the whites had some level of shame and some level of respect. So they didn't take the name of the woman. They said Ladysmith. Why? They had some level of shame, some level of decency, and some level of respect. So they said Ladysmith. But Harry, you know, it's alright. So they had some level of respect. So you were traveling to Ladysmith, right? Whatever wedding, whatever. So as long as you're focused on the road, then you have a smooth journey. You are focused, you know you're going to Ladysmith, you know you need to reach in good time. So then you have a safe, smooth, good journey. But now, you're traveling to Ladysmith, you're looking around, alright, what's happening this side? I can see one camel this side here. I can see one monkey performer that side. I can see one snake charmer that side. Hey, you're enjoying it. What's going to happen? You're driving at 150 and you're entertaining yourself. Chalga. Jaan ka khatra hai. Aur aapke sawari ka khatra hai. You in danger, your vehicle and your passengers all are in danger. So your focus must be right. Focus is akhirat. So anything that will conscientize you of the akhirat. Your consciousness, awareness of the akhirat. I'm coming to an end and I need to make the necessary preparations. Because the more you are focused, the smoother the journey and the easier for you to overcome all problems. Because you will think to yourself, alright, it's some problem that's going through, right? But I'm going to meet my end just now. And Allah Pak will see me well for the little bit of sabr that I made, the difficulty that I went through. Allah Ta'ala is most appreciative, He is most grateful. So He sees the pain that I'm going through. If He watches and observes the difficulty that I'm going through, the mental strain that I'm going through, He knows about it. So He'll definitely reward me for all this. It won't go unchecked, it won't go uncensored. So your mind is there in the right place. Now you're going to have a right journey. The journey is going to be smooth, easy and enjoyable. But now your mind is somewhere else. And why this person robbed me? And why he did this? And how can he do this to me? And yeah, he came and stabbed me from the back. You're going in a circle then. So the first thing that is required on this journey is don't meet. How many times I have to say this repeatedly? All the time I have to say, hey, leave what's going on. WhatsApp, leave all these things. That where he says that you don't socialize. So one is meeting face to face, it's one mulaqat. And al-kitabatu or risalatu nisful liqa. And what you're reading, what you're seeing, observing, that is also a mulaqat. What you're reading, what you're coming across, that's also a mulaqat. And that mulaqat is definitely going to affect you. Some word, something is going to intrigue you. So, you meet and associate with that type of person that will encourage you in your journey. He'll help you in your journey, encourage you. Your journey is akhirat. He'll help you on that line. He'll support you. He will help you. He will show you, right? That is the type of person that you need. And that person that is going to distract you, divert your attention, then is he doing good to you? Then there must be a time when you come to your senses. By now, I'm past 35, nearly 40. Now I'm past midway. I'm past that now. Now I need to open my eyes now. I can't hide away from realities. I had one program somewhere, I won't mention the name, right? So they were parking the hearse in the masjid area. So the Navy objected, please, please, not here, man, somewhere else, please. They can't even stand the sight of a hearse. The hearse coming to the masjid yard, and he can see well now, alright, coming, going. So the attention has been diverted. Now if someone, he's got a nice factory and his factory car is coming up, yeah. Dunhill, right? Hey, Dunhill. Then you feel prompted, you feel to urge, hey, what's the specials now, you know? Can you make a plan? I can also come up a little bit. Can you work out something for me? So, in that respect, we want some type of encouragement, some support. But here, that we don't want that support. That means our minds have been diverted from the real goals. That is why the hadith is saying that in the last day, the problem of the ummah will be hubbu dunya wa karahiyat al-maut. See, their minds are distracted from the real goals. Can you see that? So you're in abundance, huh? like you can't believe. Like your Muslim population is approximately one quarter of the world population. You're nowhere short in wealth. You can't say that you're short in wealth. You can't say you're short in numbers. You are above everybody in numbers and wealth. But then why you are downtrodden? You know, they're making money and therefore they are moving and all that. So we should also be making money and we can also be escalating, right? The criteria is different. For the Muslim, the criteria is different to the criteria of the kafir. Repeatedly gives the story of this Boj Bujakkar. You know? So he was now the master of everything in the town. Any problem is called Boj. He'll sort you out. Someone is sick, someone's door is falling, someone's roof is giving a problem, someone's wall is collapsing. That's called Boj. He'll sort you out. So any problem, called Boj. Boj, he'll sort you out. See how our reasoning goes. Our reasoning is that kafir, and he's doing this, and he's escalating, he's moving up. So can't I apply the same so that I can also escalate? But the reasoning is off. So the plan for him is different, and the plan for the Muslim is different. Two different plans, different paths. You came as a guest, I gave you a small piece of cheese, eat, enjoy it, right? Toast and cheese. But the rat came in, I gave a beautiful portion of bread, a lot of ghee, a lot of cheese, but I put it into the cage, right? Is it the same? Yeah, it's a trap, yeah, it's an honor, right? A little bit less I gave you, a little more I gave here. So is that a trap or is it an honor? Yeah, I did it as an honor, yeah, I did it as a trap. And deliberately I didn't give you so much, because I know you are a heart patient, you are a sugar patient, you are a pressure patient. So I'm going to give too much, it's going to cause a problem for you. So just eat in limitation. You won't have a problem, you'll have a good night's sleep, and your health will be well. But now you're comparing yourself against the rat. is a comparison, right? So the plan of Allah Ta'ala for him and with him is different. The plan for his friend is different. Allah Ta'ala wants you to be not only spiritually, not only physically healthy, but spiritually also healthy. I need to give him the right amount, the right dosage, that spiritually he is healthy. He'll cry to me. He'll come to me, he'll cry. And I like his tears. My one friend gave a story. He says, one person came to the Hatim and he's crying. And in about half an hour's time, his job is done, it's gone. The other person is crying at the Hatim for 5, 10, 20 years, he's crying. Nothing happening. He's complaining to Allah Ta'ala. Allah's plans with different people are different. Now, we don't realize it. Why you blessed him? Why didn't you bless me? You don't realize. Eventually, it turned out that that person that was crying and half an hour's time his job was done, Allah didn't like him. So, take your thing and go. I don't like your tears. And this person here for 20 years is crying and things are not working out. I like your crying. I like your crying. So now if I did your thing for you, you won't cry. But you're crying. I just love your crying. I just want you to go on crying. Can you see now the criteria are different? Not the same. We think of it the same. Why? Uska kaam to ban raha hai, aur mera kaam nahi banta. His works are all done, and mine are not done. On the lighter end, one buzrug is having his haircut, you see. So, the hairdresser, someone called him Ajam, different name, Nai, Ajam, whatever, right? The word Khalifa is not right. Some places they say Khalifa for the barber. It's not the right. Of course, you see, this thing starts from the Shias. How it started is they wanted to disgrace the Khalifa, Khulafa Rashidin. And if you know about Indian culture, then the barber is looked down upon. Because they swear the person, Ajam Kahika, they swear the person. So now, in order to disgrace the Khulafa-i Rashidin, give the Ajam the name of Khalifa. See how they're doing, how they're working, right? So anyway, this Buzrug is having his hair dressed, his hair cut by the Hajam, and the whole procession is going. Now they're going for an urs, right? They're going for an urs. Urs is about 20, 30 kilometers away. And this Hajam says, I'm going also. Buzrug says, you're midway here, and you can't just leave me there. So about, I'll get left out. He said, no, I'll make one dua for you. And you'll reach, inshallah. Anyway, he's telling this Hajam, or he's got a letter. You reach there, and on this spot you'll find one person. This is features. You hand him over that letter. So anyway, he did. Buzrug told him. He reached up there. He handed over the letter, right? So, on the back of the letter, this buzurg that has to be, the letter has to be conveyed, he wrote the answer and he sent it back to this buzurg. So this buzurg that was writing the letter, that was getting his hair dressed, he wrote to the inmate of the grave. And he's such a big buzurg, you know. Mu'inuddin Chishti Rahmatullah, 3 million people accepted Islam in your hands. Such a big buzurg you are. Can't you stop these people from the bidah that they're doing at your grave? Making sajda, what are they doing? Making nazar on the graves and all that. So, it's such a big buzurg, and millions of people are coming and thronging at your grave and they're doing all this wrong. So, on the reverse side, this buzurg wrote the letter, wrote the answer to this person. What that thing I read? He says, see, you complain that I can't control these 3 million people. There's one Ajam you can't control, and you want me to control these 3 million people. See that? So it's different situations, and we don't understand the scenarios that are going on in this world, so we're ready to give our 2 cents. So doing this, why? To try to open your minds. Really, our minds are not open. Different Busugana Deen will use different approaches to get people right. So as long as they are great Busugs, they know the Sunnah, they don't violate the Sunnah, then you will just emulate them. As long as they don't violate the Sunnah, then you will emulate them, you won't condemn them. They know what they do. Like Tabligh Jamaat, say, just talk on the 6 points. So they know what they're doing. They know now in that bayan, this person is going to talk about, say, shaving the beard. Half the crowd will just go away. So they know now, right, you have to bring the person, but bring him, gradually, gracefully bring him. But in the first sitting, you want to make him a perfect Muslim, then it's not going to happen. It will happen, but gracefully. So they know, all right, if he's going to go on this way, 6 points, 3 days a month, and all that, he'll come right, right? But it needs a little bit of time. So you can't bring him to that level in one stroke, but now go on this, go gracefully, and you'll get him. But now, that is provided that Buzurg is a genuine Buzurg. Adhering to the Sunnah. One person comes for Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi, we'll come to the both stories, right? So he says to Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi, I want to take bayat at your hands. But now you see, you would ask me about namaz and all that, I can't do all these things here. But just accept me for bayat. Alright, who's forcing you to perform namaz? But I've got some few zikrs, it'll take you about 20 minutes, just do the zikr every day. Anyway, we started off, the zikr that Hadith Sahib Rahmatullahi had prescribed. Now, Zuhar time came, and he's finding a terrible itch. Whole body is itching. So he said, he tried this cream here, that lotion, Johnson powder, all he tried, everything he tried. He's not working. So I tried everything, alright. Let me just try water. So as he's applying water to the face, all the itch is gone. So, alright. Hey, the itching on the hand also. Applied water on the hands, it's gone. Then he said, hey, let me do the head. He applied water here, then the itch is gone. Now the feet is left. He washed the feet. So he said, hey, he thought to himself, but you know, I didn't tell Hadith Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayhi, that I will not perform namaz. He said, don't force me to read namaz. But I didn't take a promise that I will not perform namaz. He said, now the wuzu to ban gaya. When my wuzu is done now, let me just finish the namaz one time. As he finished the namaz, all the itch is gone. Every itch is gone. Khalas. Now, finished the zuhur namaz. A third time came again, the whole itching started. Again, he applied the same formula, everything cleared up. Maghrib time, same thing. Now he's saying in his mind, Hadith Sahib, Hadith Sahib, sir, take me straight. Why you took me goal? But Hadith Sahib understood now, after putting me to this circle for his mind to come right. He will not going to just accept that 5 time namaz you have to read straight away. His mind is not going to go there. But now, if I'm telling him what I'm going to do, so now I will take him in a roundabout way. Now, in a joking way, he should take me totally straight, but now he put me through this whole circle that I came right. Anyway. So different Busugana Deen have different approaches. As long as they're not violating the Sunnah, don't object to it. As long as they're not violating, they're not making statements that are against the Quran, the Hadith, they're not giving the 2 cents in the Quran or the Hadith, you follow them. But the idea is to bring you to the Sunnah. So, how do you make out that this person is the right person? You will make it out that as you are following him, then your love for the Sunnah is just increasing. Your concern for the hereafter, life after that is improving all the time. Your understanding of Deen is improving. Now you understand that this is the right person. There is compatibility, there is understanding. One person came to one Buzurg, says, my whole life, robbing, stealing, plundering, that was my life. So if there's any scope for my Islah and correction, then please accept me. He said, alright, I won't force you, but what you do is, you promise me, I'm taking bayat on your hands, you promise me, wherever you are, in whatever state you are, But the time the namaz time enters, then call the azan at the loudest pitch of your voice and perform the namaz. No matter where you are, what situation you are, but the moment the time of namaz enters, then the highest pitch you call the azan and do the namaz there and then. It's like a car, at least I'm free to go and steal now. So, mujhe to azadi mil gayi, all I have to do is just... So anyway, he saw now, it's a winter's night and it's a nikah after Maghrib, or after Asr. After Asr, Maghrib, all the food will be over. Then after Isha, the fog, or gab shabs, or some tea. And by 10, 11 o'clock, all will be lights out. Everything, because now it's a winter's night. The night is starting at 7 o'clock. The nikah is around 4 o'clock. But from 4 o'clock till Maghrib, till Isha, everything will be finished. Then by 10 o'clock, the lights are off, finished. You worked it out. So let me go there at about 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. And now it's India. So India, the ladies like to dress up now. Here, ladies are not dressing up so bad. Jewelry and all. Now there, they're dressing up jewelry. Bangles and rings and chains and earrings and all that. So the right time now, it's a wealthy family, and there'll be, the guests will be all loaded, so let me go and do it. It's timing the whole thing now. So by 9 o'clock, all asleep. 10, 11 o'clock, they fast, they're snoring, everybody's gone. And now he's going to operate. This one's jewelry, that one's jewelry, that one's cash. He's got the loot in the sack, he's got it. And as he's just about to leave, about 50 meters away from the entrance, there he can see the first streak of light in the eastern horizon. Subah Sadiq just started now. Fajr namaz time. And now he remembered that he made that promise with the Buzrug, that at the highest pitch you want to call out the azan, wherever you are, perform your namaz. He called azan. Now everybody got up. When they got up now, she's looking for bangles, looking for his watch, she's looking for his cash, everything missing. Well, you see this person here calling the azan, and there's a sack near him. So they went and checked all, her jewelry is there, his watch is there, his cash is there. Yeah, we'll fix the person up. They come in with the axe, chopper, finish him up, kill him. But he's done. Now, call the azan, and the promise was after the azan, straight away we'll do the namaz. And you can see now the whole mob is around him. So you can imagine the level of the sincerity. Allah Pak, last time, never again. Allah Pak, just see me right today. See me right today, I'll never do this again. Because he doesn't stand a chance. 100 people are around him. Can he stand a chance? Now, when he's crying like that, and making a promise within his heart to Allah Ta'ala, I'll never do this. So, dilok ke phirne wala to khuda ki zaat hai. Allah Ta'ala is the one that changed the hearts. Now, they say, no man, he can't be a thief. A thief doesn't call azan like so loudly and perform namaz. He must be Khizr alayhi salam. And he must have caught the rogue, you see. He must be Khizr alayhi salam. And he must have caught the rogue and he had the loot there to return it to us. You know? So, hey, Allah Pak sent this malaika in by us. So now, after namaz, they all clean up to make musafa, dumb water and all that. Hazrat, take all this, do as you want. But he made a tawbah, and he was staunch on his tawbah, he left that habit, complete. But you see, Allah Pak likes this. Now they got procedures that they followed, but me and you, if we would do the same, you are emulating. You are that buzruk, so don't pretend to be what you want. You don't present to God what you want. They have got that insight. They're not violating the Sharia. They're not breaking the Sunnah. And they're showing procedures. And the procedures, they know why they apply which type of a procedure. So now, you're going to do something, what are you going to do? Just try to emulate. So that's not the way. So I said the 6 points is not total, complete deen. But they know, alright, you're going to take this formula on. Inshallah, it'll give you some guidance. You'll come on, right? So you do the 6 points. And for your deen matters, must refer to ulama. Haven't they done a fair job? And for suluk and all, go to a mashayikh. So they'll give you the whole package of deen, but gracefully, gradually, they're taking you in stages. They're not taking you one shot, because they know you don't have the capacity. To do it in one go, you don't have the capacity. So they have to take you on that, but they have to take you gradually, gracefully. So we're coming back to the story of that bhoj, and I say, we don't understand the criteria. And because we don't understand criteria, so we're mixing up all the issues. So understand the criteria, that you don't mix up the issues. This whole week, you know, with these phones, with these people, everybody is same ishtima, ishtima. Camper down. Every person is asking the same question. So this morning Allah Pak put one thought in my mind. That وَإِن طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ اقْتَتَلُوا فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا. When there is a quarrel, right, then what's our duty? Our duty is to make sulah, to make peace, isn't it? وَالصُّلْهُ خَيْرٌ, to bring about peace. So there's a procedure to make sulah as well. So Allah Pak put one thought in my mind. Right. See, Mullah Saad Sahib, so in his article 2016, somewhere 38, somewhere, right? 38, 37, he writes there. It's preserved already. All that, his articles are preserved. He writes there, my markaz and my referral point is Dioban and Sahanpur. Right. So I will take instructions from there. From where? From Dioban and from Sahanpur. These are the two places that I will take instruction from. And to move away from them and have an independent thinking, right? Then his words are bari gumrahi ki baat hai. He's going totally off the track. So these are the two point places that you must take your direction from. And to move away from them, have your own independent thought, bari gumrahi ki baat hai. That's his words. So now, there are several phones, you know, phones from, some came from London also. Wherever they came, some persons came personally, some emails. Okay, you've got a problem, so why don't you go and sort it out? So Allah put that thought in my mind. That your idea, your suggestion is taken. I embrace your suggestion. Very beautiful. Because the catalyst to your suggestion is to make sulah, to reconcile, to bring about peace, right? But peace requires some procedures, right? If I go personally, right, we may reconcile. But does that improve the world condition? Because now this has reached international proportions. When it's reached international proportion, if I go and reconcile, will it make any change? It won't make any change. And now his Mossad's own confession is this is the center, this is where we need to refer to, and to move away from them, ye bari gumrahi ki baat hai. So the simple thing is, he must go to them. Because I go is just an individual thing. But if he goes to Dioban and Saharpur, to these two places, right, and two of the ustaz, his ustaz, and you know we follow our ustaz. Someone is following Mona Ayers, someone is following Mufti Rizaul Haq, so all of us got some ustaz. All of us, some senior, we follow them. So the two living ustaz that are present, Ibrahim Devla, and has Mawlana Muhammad Aqil Sahib from Sahanpur. Right. And the second statement that Mawlana Sahib makes, that me, I am on the same path of Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali and Mawlana Inamul Hasan Sahib, in the same letter. I got it. So I am on that path. I don't move away from that. So now, these two people, they saw both these Buzurgs, Mawlana Inamul Hasan Sahib and Mawlana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. So the most sensible thing that I can think of, I can't think of anything more sensible. That he, you know, just one person has to go to Dioban Sahanpur and then conform with whatever they say. Just be humble. Whatever they say, then just conform and include these two personalities in the mashwara, because he says himself that I need to follow these people. So the two living people that had worked with Mawlana Yusuf Sahib and Mawlana Inamul Hasan Sahib, I don't know about Mawlana Aqil Sahib, but he is his Harubai. So he must have seen him very closely. But Ibrahim Sahib had worked with both the Buzurg Ahl-e-Din. So when you walk with both the Buzilwanadin, then the most sensible thing is, he goes to these two places, right? And whatever they suggest, total humility, whatever they say, alright, do this. With his ustaz now, Mawla Ibrahim Sahib and Mawla Aqil Sahib. And go with them. And my gut feeling is, if he does that, just one person, then the whole world will accept him. Will there be any problem? Hundreds and thousands of masjids and people are fighting, husband, wife, family, this one, that one, this alim, that one. No. One person just takes the initiative, goes there, sorts the thing out there. I ask you, will there be any problem after that? Now, why aren't we thinking positively? Right? And then those that are closest to him, right, they must encourage it. Because, unsur akhaka, zaliman kana, o masluman, help your brother. Whether he's right or wrong, but help him. If he's oppressed, then obviously you will help him. But if he's an oppressor, if he's wrong, then remove him. Show him how to get out of the wrong. And I show you this is so easy procedure if he goes to Dioban Sahib, because this is his own confession. These two centers, you must go by them. And these are two personalities that will remain on their course. I won't move away. So now, the people that are closest to these two personalities that I know of, right, is Mawla Ibrahim Sahib and Mawla Aqil Sahib, and both are great alims. Right? And if any other person tries to intervene, I can't imagine the whole world agree. But if Dioban Sahanpur is one person's initiative, if he humbles himself, goes to these points here, sorts it out, right? What a dramatic change to bring to the world condition. Ikhtilaf will be finished, we will be a single brotherhood, and we'll be conforming to the ayat, فَأَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمَا وَإِنْ طَائِفَتَانِ مِنَ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ There's a quarrel, there's a problem. Then bring some reconciliation. Now we're coming back to that boat story, right? To delay the whole thing. But at this point, until this point, is there any disagreement? This procedure is his own confession, his own undertaking, that this is the way to go. And to move away from them, he says, Badi gumrahi ki baat hai. So it's an easy procedure. If I go right, I can go nothing. But is it going to bring about a change on the international level? Is it going to bring a change? We can't. I can't do it. But obviously everybody is focused on Dioban Sahanpur. He himself is focused on that. When he himself is focused on that, and on these two personalities, and then these are the people that are closest. So they will understand the work better than all of us. Whether it's more Aqil Sahib or Ibrahim Sahib, they will understand the work, right? The nitty-gritties, the sensitivities, they will understand the best. So all is required. Just a little bit of humility, conform. Umar Sahib Palanpuri, rahmatullahi. And Umar Yusuf Sahib passed away. So the main bayan in the Markaz used to be after Fajr. 3 hours, 4. It used to be about 3 hours, 4 hours, 3 hours. Ramzan, no Ramzan, it is. Is cracking one way. I can still see the scene there, you know. This big ulama, Sheikh ul Hadith. Umar Sahib is giving the bayan. They are bursting out crying. They can't hold themselves. So, what level of sincerity and what power pack he must have. But they didn't just post him to that position straight away. Hazrat Sheikh Ramtali and Hazrat Mawla Inamul Hasan Sahib Ramtali, in one side, is to be seated and for a year, or more than a year, they were listening to every bayan. Can you see? He censored so well. Because now this man is going to go to the international scene. He's going to be addressing an audience of 100,000, 200,000, half a million, 1 million, Bangladesh sometimes 2.5, 3 million. Right? So he must be so well censored that we don't find any objections from any quarter. So the Sheikh Hadith Sabrani is censoring him, and Inamul Hasan Sahib is censoring him. Both great. Very, very great people. You know, the world can't produce, my understanding, the real world, like the world can't produce a man like Imam Bukhari, and they can't produce people like Hazrat Mawla Tanvi Sahib Rahman, and these people, they can't produce. Though aqlan, logic, it may be, but from the way we see things, like, the world can't produce a person like Imam Bukhari, they can't produce a person like that. So these people are very, very close. So just go to them, humble, and whatever they say, here they have to check him out for a complete year, or more than a year. And then they posted him. So whatever Dioban, or Ibrahim Sahib, or Aqil Sahib say,
then he's now censored for that period. Checked him up. Because now, all these things are started about 8 years ago, right? So then that requires jazau sayyatin sayyatu misluha, that an equal amount of time is given for the rectification process. Now that's my understanding, right? So much, so long. So for the rectification process, give about 8 years, 7 years. Now they screened him, they censored him properly, and now then they posted him onto the international screen. I ask you, will there be any person that will object? Right? Then make 20 tabligh jamaats also. We won't object. Dioban, Sanpur, these senior elders, they have censored the person, they have seen the person. But now, our problem is, what we like, is we like entertainment. What came up now? Who said what? And now what? Who's giving the shots? You know, it's like children in the last surf, you know, under nine, ten. So, one child wants a little bit of fun. So, somehow, really discreetly, he will just poke the other child. So, that child is jumping now. So, he's now looking at who did this. And the way he's concentrating the namaz, like nothing happened. This person here is watching, he's entertaining himself. He's entertaining himself. So that's what we want. We want some entertainment. Now deen is not a thing of entertainment. Deen is not I come on this program, that program, entertaining myself, seeing, you know, who's giving the shots, who's got the last say. That's not deen. Deen is إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ خُلُوهُمْ. When you hear about deen, your heart is gripped with fear. تُلِيَتْ عَلِيمْ آيَاتُ. And when the Quran Sharif is recited, the iman is increasing. And when they read the Quran Sharif, their eyes are flowing with tears. Now that's supposed to be the response with deen. Now, is that the response? Or we want to see now who's got the biggest clout, and who's got the action here, and who's more eloquent, and who's giving the shots, and who's striking more. So this is a very dangerous point. Very, because the whole deen has become like the Christians. اتخذوا دينهم لهوا ولعبا. They made their deen as a pastime and entertainment. Don't you see all these evangelists, tele-evangelists, right? So, what has it now, if you sum it up, it's an entertainment. There's no practice, nothing, just entertain yourself. Right? So now, this will be the line that we'll be taking just to entertain ourselves. What's coming on this program, what's coming here, what's coming on the WhatsApp. Is it increasing our fear of Allah Ta'ala, the consciousness of Allah Ta'ala? Is that increasing, or our thirst for entertainment is increasing? Ask yourself, when you're alone, أَن تَقُومُ لِلَّهِ مَثْنَى وَفُرَادَى. Stand alone and think now, is my quest for entertainment increasing, or the fear of Allah Ta'ala is increasing, the fear of answerability to Allah Ta'ala? I made a mistake, I must be clear, I ask for forgiveness. Made a mistake here, made a mistake there. You made a mistake, you ask for forgiveness. Isme kya rakha hua? I made a mistake. So what? Is it a big thing? I said no. Nihayat afsos means disgusting. And someone says no, it's not disgusting, it is regretful, right? So alright, I'm accepting my mistake. So what? I made a mistake, I accept. You make a mistake, you accept. So is there anything to fight about? Shout at this person, hit this person down, smash him down. Is that how we live? Or our Quran Sharif directives, أَصْلِحُوا بَيْنَهُمْ, bring about some type of reconciliation, understanding, muhabbat, how to do it. And now, my mind, when I thought about it this morning, and I was in tears, you know. Why I was in tears is that, I'm thinking to myself, I couldn't control myself. Or at least, about half an hour or so, I couldn't control myself. At the Tahajjud time, I couldn't control. The thing I was thinking was, that was overwhelming, is the ancestry did so much of work. The Shaykh, what he did. Ilyas, what they did. Right. And now, we just want the same spirit to continue in his line. Right? The line. And that was really like hurting me very much. So I said, now, what is a closure to all this? A closure that is sensible, a closure that we can see is making some sense. What is a closure? This is the only thing that I could come across. لَأَلَّ اللَّهَ يُحْدِثُ بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ أَمْرًا.